Congregation, I invite you to turn with me this morning to the Word of God as we find it, first of all, in the book of Psalms. We read Psalm 8, and then we will also turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, reading the verses 1 through 17. First, then, Psalm 8. Hear the word of the Lord. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We now turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, reading to verse 17. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitudes said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?'" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany. And he lodged there. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from Psalm 8, the second verse of Psalm 8. And there we read as follows, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Beloved congregation, the Bible has a very high view of children. The psalmist says that children are a heritage of the Lord. And it pronounces a blessing on the man and the woman who has his or her quiver full of them. In the New Testament, when the disciples refused to allow some parents to bring their children to Jesus in order to be blessed by Him, Jesus strongly rebuked them. And He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 describes the children of believers as holy. And he singles them out for special mention in his letter to the Ephesians. But did you know that children also have a special role in the kingdom of God? And you say, what is that role? Their role is to manifest, to give expression to, the strength of God. And that's the clear teaching of our text this morning. We read together from Psalm 8. In this psalm, David praises God for His work of creation, in particular, His creation of man. Man, he said, was created by God a little lower than the angels. He crowned him with glory and with honor. And what is more, God made him to have dominion over the works of His hands. He has put all things under His feet, he says. Sheep and oxen and all beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And when David considers all of this, and when he considers the great position that man has in the created order, he is amazed. And he exclaims with praise and adoration, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?" Words that are ultimately fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. David is amazed. He's overwhelmed with the fact that God has made man the crowning glory of His creation. But before focusing on man, David praises God for what He does by the mouth of little children. And we read of that in the words of our text, Psalm 8, verse 2, David writes, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." David here makes a profound observation that God uses little children. He uses little children to manifest His strength, to show His enemies how great and how powerful a God He is. He uses little children even to defeat them, to silence them. And so with that in mind, we want to, with the help of the Lord, reflect on the words of our text under the theme, "The Strength of God Manifested by Little Children." The strength of God manifested by little children. We'll see that this demonstrates, first of all, the grace of God, and secondly, it vanquishes the enemies of God. This demonstrates the grace of God, and secondly, it vanquishes the enemies of God. The words of our text this morning, congregation, portray God as surrounded by enemies. David here speaks of God stilling, God silencing the enemy and the avenger. And there's something surprising about that, isn't there? Normally, when we think of God, we think of Him surrounded by angels and the saints who have gone on before us, who are spending all of their time in praise and adoration, worshiping and blessing God as is fitting for Him. But that is not the case here in our text. In our text, God is not surrounded by His people. He's not surrounded by the praises of the angels whom He has created, but He's surrounded by enemies. He's surrounded by people who hate Him, who are opposed to Him. Who are these enemies? Well, they are those who do not acknowledge Him. And there are all kinds of different enemies of God. There are those who openly oppose Him. We call them atheists. People who are philosophically predisposed against the idea that God exists. And they write books and they write articles to try to prove that there is no way that God can exist. They are those who openly oppose the God of heaven and of earth. They are His enemies. And then there are those who, whether religious or not religious, do not openly oppose Him, but they live as though He didn't exist. And there are people like that even in the church. They come to church and they go through all the motions of Christianity, but in their daily life it doesn't show itself, it doesn't manifest itself. They're proper Christians on Sunday, but not during the week. It's as though they exist, it's as though they live as though God did not exist. Religious, but not God-fearing. They too are enemies of God. And then there are those who are very religious, but they don't worship the true God. They worship a God of their own making, a product of their own sinful and vain human imagination. All of these are the enemies of God. And they are His enemies because they refuse to accept the revelation of God, both in creation and especially in His Word, where God has clearly revealed Himself, leaving all men without excuse. Now, to be sure, there are some who are more opposed to Him than others. Some oppose Him actively and consciously, as I have said. Others oppose Him passively and unconsciously. But they all have this in common. They are all enemies of God. They're all opposed to God. And how does God respond to this? What does God do in the face of all this opposition that stands against Him? Well, He does what any of us would do when we are threatened by enemies. He takes steps to defend Himself. Now, to be sure, God doesn't need to defend Himself against insignificant human beings who oppose Him. Man, compared to God, even all of His enemies amassed together, they are nothing compared to Him. They are but dust. They are like worms on the sidewalk. God doesn't have to defend Himself against the attacks of sinful human beings. But neither does He allow their attacks to go unanswered. God does answer His enemies. And what instrument does He use? What weapon does God use to prove His strength, to manifest His power? Well, we might think that God would use the angels or the archangel Gabriel or Michael, great and powerful creatures that God has made. We might think that God would use a force of nature, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake. Surely forces of nature demonstrate the great power of God. But He doesn't use any of these things. God uses the weakest means. He uses little children. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, You, O Lord, have ordained strength because of Your enemies. God uses the weakest means. Little children, babes, and nursing infants. That shouldn't surprise us. God often uses the weakest means. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes the ordinary believer in these words. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen what? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the what? He has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are." Why does God do this? Why does God use the weak and the base? Paul tells us that no flesh should glory in His presence. We see this throughout the history of redemption, don't we? God used Abraham and Sarah, two old people, well past the age of childbearing, Sarah, whose womb was barren. He used them to give birth to Isaac, to establish His covenant seed upon the face of the earth. He used Moses, a man who couldn't speak, to bring His people Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. He used David, but a youth, to conquer Goliath. He used Mary and Joseph, poor, uneducated, unsophisticated, uncultured peasants from Nazareth in Galilee, to give birth to His Son, to care for Him and to raise Him. He used the disciples, poor and uneducated fishermen, also from Galilee, to preach His Word and to establish the foundations of His church. God uses the weak. He uses babes and nursing infants. Now, specifically, David tells us that he uses what comes out of their mouths. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, nursing infants, have you ordained strength. Now, what comes out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? Well, we know what goes in their mouths. Milk and juice and formula and pablum and baby food. And when they get older, solid food. But what comes out of their mouths? What comes out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? Well, that's words. Words come out of their mouth. Even, not even full sentences sometimes, just mere babblings come out of their mouth. But David here has in mind particularly a certain kind of word. He's thinking here of words of praise, words of adoration. It is by the words of praise, it is by the words of adoration uttered by the mouth of nursing infants and children, that God manifests His strength over and against His enemies. In fact, this is exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ interprets these words in Matthew chapter 21, which we read earlier. You know the story well, I trust. Jesus and the disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. It was the final days of Jesus' sojourn here on earth. Jesus would soon be arrested and tried and sentenced to death. And as He approached the city, He commanded two of His disciples to go to a nearby village, and there they would find a donkey tied and a colt with her. And Jesus told them to untie the donkey and the colt and bring them to Him. And they did so. And upon returning to the place where Jesus was, the disciples took off their outer garments and they laid them on the back of the colt and they set Jesus on top of the colt. And the great multitude that followed them
proceeded to do something similar. They also took off their outer garments and they laid them on the road. While others went to nearby trees and they cut down the branches from these trees and they spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" We call this the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was making his way to the city amidst all these shouts of praise and adoration. And when Jesus arrived there, he went immediately to the temple. Matthew tells us that he drove out the money changers, overturned their tables and the seats of those who sold doves, and then he proceeded to heal many lame and many blind. And as he did these things, something remarkable happened. There were children in the temple. We do not know how many. Most likely it was a large multitude. Children probably accompanying their parents. And they saw these wonderful works that the Lord Jesus did. They saw how he overturned the tables of the money changers. They saw how he drove out those who sold doves out of the temple precincts. They saw how he healed the lame and the blind. And spontaneously they erupt in praise and adoration to God. And they cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David!" They acknowledged him to be what he was and what he claimed to be, the promised Messiah of God. And within a short space of time, the chief priests and the scribes heard what was going on and they were very upset. And they came to Jesus and they asked him if they heard what these children were saying. And they were implying, "Jesus, you've got to stop these children. They're speaking blasphemy. They're saying that you're the promised Messiah. You've got to stop them. Don't you hear them?" And Jesus calmly said, "Yes, I hear them." And then he asked them a question. "Have you never read?" And then he proceeds to quote the words of our text. "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Jesus here is quoting from the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew. You may have noticed that there's a noticeable difference between the text as it appears in the Hebrew in Psalm 8 and as it appears in the Septuagint, which are the words that Jesus is quoting. In the Hebrew, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength." But in the Septuagint, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." There's a difference. Similar, but there's a difference. And by quoting from the Septuagint, Jesus here is telling us that this is the true meaning of the Hebrew. This is the intent of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us that God has ordained, God has appointed babes and nursing infants to manifest His power, to manifest His strength, and that in the way of them praising Him. To put it another way, it is in the way of little children praising God that God demonstrates His power and that God silences His enemies. Now you say, "But hold it a minute, babies and nursing infants cannot speak. They babble and they cry and they make all kinds of other noises, but they can't speak. They can't string sentences together. How then can David say that it is by what comes out of their mouths that God manifests His strength?" Well, to understand that, to explain that, we need to understand that the word babes in the Hebrew, as it appears here in Psalm 8, can also be translated as children. And we also need to keep in mind that Hebrew mothers customarily nursed their children until they were at least 3 years old, sometimes even older than that. And so David here is referring to young children. Children who are just beginning to speak, just beginning to formulate their thoughts in the form of words. And perhaps children who are slightly older than that as well. It's to these children, and not all children, but covenant children. Children born of believing parents. Children who are brought up and nurtured in the fear of the Lord under His Word. It is by what comes out of their mouth. It is by the praises that proceed from their mouth that God shows how strong He is. And is that not true? We have all watched children singing songs of praise to God. Whether that is at home, or whether that is at school, or here in church, in a Sunday school program, or a Christmas program. And you see them, and they're standing here on the steps as they were just a few weeks ago. And they sing. And they seem to be totally unaware of the fact that there are hundreds of people that are watching them. And it's like they're just standing in the presence of God. And they sing to Him, and they sing with all of their heart. They sing with feeling. They sing with sincerity. And we stand amazed. And we wonder. Sometimes it puts us to shame. And that was brought home to us in a very powerful way at the opening of our church building just a few weeks ago. And it was striking, wasn't it, that both our counselor and our mayor, they didn't talk about my meditation. They didn't talk about the great numbers of people that were here that night. They didn't talk about the singing of the congregation. They talked about the children. They were moved by the singing of the children. You see, congregation, there's a power in the singing of little children that's overwhelming. It can't be resisted. And all you can do is stand back and drink it in. And that's how God manifests His strength. That's how God shows His power over and against His enemies. It's by the praises of little children. And it's a wonder. It's a wonder because who are our children? Yes, they're covenant children. Yes, they're born of believing parents. And that is a tremendous privilege. And we should never, ever underestimate that. But what are they by nature? We confess it in the first part of the form for infant baptism, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin. And therefore are the children of wrath. Strong language. We are so sinful, it says there, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except a radical transformation occurs, except we are born again. except we are changed from the inside out. That's who we are. That's the kind of children that we bring into the world, not sweet little innocents, but sinners who, as far as their original sin is concerned, stand under the wrath and condemnation of God. And yet, in spite of that, God is pleased to use them. God is pleased to work in them. God is pleased to manifest His power and His strength over and against His enemies such that they are put to shame. What grace! Oh, children, do you realize that this morning? Do you realize, children, that you are very special to the Lord? You are. Do you realize that the Lord wants to use you to manifest His power and His strength in the world? You might think that you don't have any real special place in the church of the Lord Jesus. You just come to church because mom and dad make you come to church. I hope it's more than that. I hope that you like to come to church. But I want you to think about this, children. I want you to think that God wants you here. He wants you sitting in the pew among His people. He wants you to sing His praise with all of your heart, with all sincerity. He wants you to talk about God and to talk about the Lord Jesus with your friends on the street who do not know Him. He wants to use you. It's through you that God demonstrates His power. And so, children, don't stop talking about Him. Don't stop singing His praise. Don't stop telling others about Him. And parents, don't stop teaching your children about God. And teach them that He is a God who cares for them, a God who loves them, a God who wants to use them. Teach them about who He is. Teach them about what He has done. And encourage them to live for Him. And to sing His praise, because it's by means of what comes out of their little mouths that God is glorified. God perfects His praise. And so God uses little children. And He uses little children also to vanquish His enemies. That's our second point. God uses little children. He manifests His strength against His enemies using the words that little children speak. Now, you might think to yourself, well, how effective is that? How effective are the words of little children spoken with such simplicity? How effective are those words over and against the great and powerful enemies that are allied against the Lord? Well, David tells us that they're very effective. He writes here that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And the word silence here can also be translated as put to flight. It's amazing. God uses little children to silence His enemies, to put them to flight. They run away with their tail between their legs, so to speak, when they hear the lips of little children praising God. And don't we see that in the account of Jesus and the children in the temple? We have seen that the scribes and the chief priests were very upset with Jesus, that they were crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And Jesus defended them, and He said that they were only doing what God appointed them to do. And He quoted the words of our text. And how did the chief priests, how did the scribes respond to this? They said nothing. They said nothing. They simply allowed these children to keep on doing what they were doing, to keep on praising the Lord. And God does the same today. Set the most hardened atheist in front of a group of children who are singing God's praise. And how will he respond? Oh, he may not like what he's hearing. He may think that these children are pathetic. He may even feel sorry for them that they're being so duped by their parents into thinking that there is a God and that Jesus is the only way to be saved. He may even seethe in anger, but he won't say a word. Or you set that same man in front of a child and you invite him to pepper that child with questions. Does God exist? The child will say, yeah. As though, what? Don't you believe he exists? Or he asks, did God create all things? And the child will say, yes, he did. In the space of 24 hours, in the space of six literal 24-hour days, God created everything. What, you mean that man isn't the descendant of apes? No. A child would laugh at such a thing. You mean that the world didn't come into existence as a result of some big bang that happened billions of years ago? That God created all things and that God still exists and He governs and upholds everything even to this very day? Yeah. Is faith in Jesus the only way to be saved? Yeah. How will such a man respond to this? He will say nothing at all. He can say nothing at all. Because no one can argue with a child. Not even the devil can argue with a child. The child knows what he believes. He believes it in all of his heart. And David knows this. And so he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Oh, how much we have to learn from children. That may be part of the reason why Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is it about children that Jesus says you have to be like? It's their humility. It's their trust. It's their unqualified acceptance of what the Bible teaches. We make it so complicated. The older we get, the more complicated it becomes. The more complicated it becomes to come to Christ. The more complicated it becomes to believe what the Word of God says. And maybe it's for that exact reason that the Scriptures say, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Because it gets so much more difficult when you're older. God uses babes and nursing infants. Now, we learned two lessons from this. We learned, first of all, that if God can use babes and nursing infants to silence His enemies, then how great is His power? If that is true, then God can overcome the greatest difficulty. He can solve the greatest problem. He can save and sanctify the greatest sinner. There's nothing He cannot do. Nothing is impossible with our God. But secondly, If God can use babes and nursing infants to silence His enemies, then how weak are His enemies? And yet we're often so afraid of them. We're afraid to confront a co-worker when he curses and swears in our presence. We're afraid to speak to a friend or neighbor who's living in sin and they don't know the Lord. And they're heading to hell and we know it. But we're afraid to speak to them. And we're afraid to speak to a professor at college or university who's constantly making fun of the Bible. And constantly attacking Christians and taking God's name in vain. We're so afraid. But if God uses babes and nursing infants to silence His enemies, will He not also use us? If God be for us, congregation, who can be against us? He uses little children. He can use you too. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of this too, don't we? You can't help but reflect on the words of this psalm without thinking about Him. If there ever was a man that God used, even in his childhood, to silence the enemy and the avenger, surely it was He. You may remember, children, the time that Jesus was 12 years old and His parents, Mary and Joseph, brought Him to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And when it was time to go, Joseph and Mary assumed He was with the relatives, but at the end of their first day's journey, they discovered that He wasn't among them, and so they returned to Jerusalem and they searched for Him high and low. 3 days later, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, Luke says, both hearing them and asking them questions. And how did the doctors respond to this? Luke tells us in verse 44, and all they that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and His answers. Already at 12 years of age, Jesus was silencing the enemy and the avenger. But that was only the beginning. Many times throughout His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus was attacked and criticized. It was incessant. And at times it was vicious and mean. The religious leaders of the Jews spent most of their time trying to catch Him in His words so that they might have something to accuse Him of before the Sanhedrin. And every single time, Jesus routed them. And they went away speechless. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ will rout all of His enemies for good. When He comes on the clouds of heaven with the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and He will appear before all men. And all men will be summoned to His throne of judgment. And the wicked and the unbelieving may come and they may try to justify themselves before God, and some of them, even the religious among them, will say, but Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty miracles in Thy name? And the Lord will silence them. And He will say to them, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And He will cast them into the lake of fire where they will remain for an everlasting eternity, and then they will be silenced for good. The only trace of their voice will be their shrieks of agony as they burn in the flames of hell. Oh yes, He is coming. And when He does, He will silence all of His enemies. And He will open up the mouths of His people. He will take them to live and to reign with Him forevermore in heaven, and they shall sing His praise like little children. Without being conscious of the fact that people are looking at them. Without any inhibitions whatsoever, they shall sing His praise and magnify and praise Him, not just for a few days, not just for a few hours, but for an everlasting eternity. Oh, how wonderful. But in the meantime, congregation, we must live in this world, and it is an evil world. And the forces that oppose God and His church are growing stronger every day. But our text tells us not to fear. Our text tells us that the enemies of God are nothing. They're silenced by mere babes and nursing infants. May God be pleased to use our babes, our children, to that end. May each one of our children grow up to be valiant defenders of the truth of the Word of God and mighty conquerors of His enemies through our Lord Jesus Christ. To whom be all the honor and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Now lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.